Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I'm joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, son?
I am doing well. Good morning, sir. I'm a little worn out, actually. I mean, yesterday was a big, long day. What would you call it? It's not the show launch for Emerging Enterprise because we jumped the gun. The show doesn't really start until October.
Pre-launch.
I like that. And then we had the world.
The international community.
Yeah, we had a studio full yesterday, and so I didn't get home till like 5, 6 o'clock. It was a long day for me.
I know, and then I had to go immediately to my kids' meet the teacher back to school thing, so I didn't get home till after 9.
Your favorite activity. I know we're going to have to do a show on Lee's stance on public education.
Yes.
But not today.
Not today.
Today we have in the studio, aside from our illustrious producer Kevin Finn and my good buddy and co-host Lee Cantor, both someone from the dental profession and someone in the sports arena. Perfect match, right?
Exactly.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people in the sports arena probably need a little dental support.
Exactly.
But so a little later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Dr. Jeffrey Preluck and talk about all things dental health-wise. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you a lady who knows a thing or two and has a thing or two to say about sports. Please welcome, if you will, from That's What She Said Sports, Miss Nicole Monique. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We are delighted to have you and so glad that it was actually one of our hosts who hosts the Global Leader Radio Show for Kennesaw State.
Alvin Miles.
Yeah, he put this whole thing together, got us connected. So That's What She Said Sports. What exactly was it that she said, Nicole?
That's the question, right?
Right.
Well, That's What She Said Sports is actually started. This is a dream of mine. Ever since I was a little girl, my dad is the one who taught me about sports. Uh-huh. So, you know, there's three things I wanted to be when I was little. I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be an NFL quarterback and a Heisman Trophy winner. So my dad,
how are you doing so far?
Well, my dad set me down one day and told me the truth. You're too short. So I decided, okay. So I'm not, I'll try something
else. Focusing on football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is actually something that I've always wanted to do. And I had the pleasure of, going back for my MBA. That's how I met Alvin. Uh-huh. And while I was there, it was, I got that wake up call. I just one day was kind of like, you know what? I want to go for my passion. And that's where we came up with That's What She Said Sports. And
so you were working in a business or you were on a track, like a business corporate-y track?
My background is actually in broadcasting. That's where I started out. That's where I got my undergrad. But then I went to corporate America because my parents said, like all parents, get a job.
Right?
I still get that call. I'm almost 50 and I get that call.
Right. You know, the whole, you're not going to make any money. You need a job that makes money. So I did dive into corporate America and was successful there. But my passion had always been getting back to either radio or TV. And obviously with sports, I figured I could do a twofer.
Right.
So that's where that came about. And That's What She Said Sports is actually premiering this fall on the web. So I'm really excited.
And then what's the show going to be like?
The show is going to be basically set up in three parts. We're going to have a segment called Real Talk with Real Sports Fans. And we're going to be at different sports bars and restaurants. So having a real sports conversation. We're also going to focus on a healthy lifestyle because, you know, it's all about getting healthy.
Absolutely.
And I will actually be part of that. I'll be blogging as far as, you know, my track with weight loss and what I'm eating and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And then we're also going to be talking interviews and stories because that's something that's really near and dear to my heart. I feel like everybody has a story. So we're actually right now working with the Special Olympics. I'll be doing a story on them. Also doing a story on a gentleman named Daryl Slack. He's the assistant basketball coach for Kennesaw State, and he has a wonderful story. And I've been privileged enough to have met some of the players from the NFL Players Association, and of course they have stories as well. So the show will be once a week, and it'll just kind of be broken up in those different segments.
Now, is it going to focus on like pro sports? Like, are you going to talk about sports scores and that kind of stuff, or is it going to be kind of more the behind the scenes?
No, definitely sports scores. It's going to be a little bit of everything.
And we're going to know what's happening, pro, college, whatever.
Definitely, definitely. Especially now, obviously, football is big.
Right.
So college football and pro football is huge right now. And so we're doing a lot of tweeting as far as during football games. For example, this Monday we tweeted live and had a lot of people interact with us during
the Falcons game.
Exactly, exactly. And then Saturday, obviously, is a hot button for college football as well.
And so how do we access the show? We get to it through the web, or is it over terrestrial radio waves, or how do you get to it?
It's going
to
be on the web. We have a YouTube channel called TWSS TV.
Okay. So is it a live show, or it'll be taped?
It's going to be taped. it's going to be taped. Live is the goal, but obviously it's going to be taped right now. Mm-hmm. And then you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we have our website, which is TWSS.com. So.
And the format then is radio-like or TV-like? Is it, it has both elements?
Does it look like Mike and Mike on ESPN? Is there that kind of element of it? Or is it
Mary and Mary?
It has the element of TV. It's going to be the element of TV. So especially with the interviews, we'll either go on location or we'll be in the studio.
Right, like man on the street, woman on the street with microphone in hand.
Yep. Something like that. And then with the stories, like I said, we'll go on location. For instance, with the Special Olympics, we're actually going to be going watching them practice. Mm-hmm. And then we'll meet some of the athletes and then go to the games. So you kind of have the element of, I tell everybody, think PTI meets The View meets Real Sports, if that gives you an idea.
Well, I'll tell you, I really think you're onto something. My wife wakes up to Mike and Mike every morning, which mm-hmm. means I wake up to Mike and Mike. I really am not that much of a sports fan.
Really?
I watch sports, and my father was a high school basketball coach, and I was involved in sports, but I wasn't very good, actually. But I was around it. But my wife is an avid football fan.
Right.
And, I mean, she just loves the Mike and Mike show. She had to have the Mike and Mike book for Christmas. I married into this family. She's the youngest of five daughters. They're all just crazy, rabid football fans. So, I mean, I think you're really onto something. I think that's an untapped market. But here's my question. Show me the money. How are you going to make money on this thing?
I think my husband's asking the same thing. Show me the money. Well, you know what? That's going to come from sponsorship. Obviously, okay. The goal is to have sponsors, to have people want to advertise on the website.
Yeah, like dentists, stuff like that.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that would be perfect.
Yeah, right. I'm looking at a potential sponsor right now. So that's going to come from the website and sponsors. So that's going to be it. And you just, to bring up real quick, you're talking about your wife. You do find more and more women are interested in sports. And what's cool is I'm getting more and more women reach out to me saying, you know what? Before you, I really didn't have an interest, but they're following us on Twitter and Facebook,
right.
And now they're getting into it.
Then that's the market you're going after? Or
no,
anybody?
Actually, you know what? I have more men following me, mm-hmm. but more and more women are getting into it. You know, I think it's that thing of, it was that preconceived notion that we kind of sat back and let the guys root for it, but I'm finding more couples, the women are actually more in sports than the guys.
Right.
So,
but the show itself will be men and women.
Exactly. It's for everybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, you do a good show. It's amazing. You ask people what your audience is going to be. You don't really know till you get it out there.
Right.
And audiences just create, and these little niche audiences. We found that with our platform,
right.
You get these different audiences that you never anticipated. And then, but you got a little bit of a feel for who's going to be attracted to it. And as that grows, you'll get all the dentists or chiropractors or hamburger. There's all kinds of folks that are going to, they want to get exposure to those folks. So that's going to be fun. Let me ask you professional questions,
because
you have like real background in education and this stuff, as opposed mm-hmm. to me doing this so I didn't have to get a job. How do you go about preparing for a show? How do you decide what kinds of questions you're going to ask, or and what energy, if any, do you put into crafting the show to have certain types of guests? Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. It's definitely a lot of homework. I mean, you have to do a lot of research, and especially with just even watching the games, it's watching it day in and day out. And depending on who my guest is, like for instance, with the Special Olympics, it's really just reading up about it, looking at other games that they had, talking to people. I mean, you really can't take it for granted like, oh, I know sports, so I'm just going to go in and ask some questions. You have to be educated.
Right.
So with that research, but you know what? I don't mind it, because that's the best thing about
right.
it. Right.
If you like it, then it's not
exactly,
work, right?
Exactly. So literally all day Sunday, it's watching games.
Wow. It's not easy being you.
I know. It's really hard, right? But you have to put a lot of work in it. And I think a lot of people take that for granted, thinking, oh, you know sports, so you know, you just kind of wake up. And I think what's funny too is a lot of people see these different shows and thinking, oh, these guys know everything. No, there's people behind the scenes,
right,
giving them
they
that information.
They're whispering in their ear.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, Terry Bradshaw is good, but he doesn't know everything.
Right.
So
do you have like DirecTV subscription, all the sports stuff?
Yes, where some women get diamonds. My husband got me the NFL ticket.
Nice, well played.
Nicely done, man.
So you have like the college, you got all of them?
I have
Major
all of it.
Baseball.
I have
thing?
All of it.
Wow.
We're probably the only show in our neighborhood that literally you cut on the TV and it's sports 24/7. We're like our little mini ESPN.
Nice.
So you remember that Al Pacino McConaughey movie where that was with odds making? And can you get away with that? And is there a place for that where in your format, you think, where you talk about
like
that kind of stuff?
Gambling or fantasy football? Are you talking
well,
about that
I'm
element?
Actually part of a fantasy football team.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also do an office football pool. So, and that helps me too with just looking at the game and keeping, you know, as part of that homework that you talked about.
Right,
right.
Because that's huge right now. And I've been finding a lot of friends of mine, especially female friends, who say, well, I really don't know football. I always tell them, encourage them, join a fantasy football league because you watch the game totally different.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll bet. Yeah. But I guess bookies are not going to want to sponsor. You're going to have to figure
casinos,
out like an alternative model.
Biloxi.
Hey, bookies, I can handle bookies. That's
right. But the internet.
I mean, yeah, but something like the just the Jimmy the Greek kind of flavor, just to kind of talk about,
right.
You could get away with that, and it might add an interesting dimension to it.
And honestly, that's what fantasy football, it kind of gives you that kind of flavor, especially with the office football pool. You know, I mean, there's a spread, there's a point spread that's involved.
Right.
So, and again,
you
it
know,
kinda,
you put a guy behind like a screen all blacked out with a voice thing, and he's giving you the inside scoop, the odds.
Right.
But this thing is going to go beyond football?
It's all sports, right?
Oh, it's all sports,
right?
Oh,
it
definitely.
It just happened to be football season.
Yeah. And especially now, I mean, you know, football has actually surpassed baseball.
Right,
as
in
far
popularity.
As far as America's game. But it's everything. I mean, we're talking golf, gymnastics. Oh, my gosh. During the Olympics, it was literally 24/7.
Right.
I had never talked about skeet shooting so much in my life. But it's that kind of thing.
Right.
Well, yeah.
You know me, I'm still thinking about the money, but to me, that's where the sponsorship is in these sports that don't get the kind of exposure that they wish they got through these other formats. And the whole world is going more and more to, I want to watch what I want, when I want.
Exactly.
And, you know, with the golf and the table tennis or these little niche audiences, there may be a gold mine or several little gold mines.
Exactly.
You already thought about all this, haven't you?
Well,
I'm coming to the party later.
She's got an executive MBA from Kennesaw State. So
right.
We got this all figured out.
Well, and another part of the program, too, is a piece we call She Gives Back. And that gives an outlet to those in the community who want to tell their story.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, I worked with a group called World of Champs.
Right.
You know, it's just a matter of, hey, they're helping kids out there because everybody can't afford sports. You know,
right.
Everybody doesn't have the $40 million guaranteed. So what we can do in our show is to highlight a church, a sports organization, some sort of youth group. And when you talk about another, you know, vehicle as far as getting ourselves out there, it helps them. We can tell their story. So if there's anybody out there who does have that kind of money, they can help sponsor them as well.
Now, you talk about sports, and it sounds like a lot of these are the competitive sports, but are they the individual sports like runners or triathletes or things that are people are just doing it for themselves? Or is that going to be covered in this as well?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, the whole point is not only does everybody have a story, but every athlete has a story.
Right.
So it's not just going to be team sports. It is going to be those individual sports.
Right. So that's the real sports kind of homage to that.
Exactly.
Where you're kind of an in-depth story of maybe somebody struggling or overcoming an obstacle.
Exactly. And I'm kind of the root for the underdog kind of girl.
Right.
So I love those stories as well. And what's interesting is when I was first starting out, I had guys who were like, well, I don't know if anybody's going to find that interesting. But the research shows actually more men like those stories.
Uh-huh.
You know, those kind of inspirational,
right.
Kind of get you going stories. Because, you know, I think, you know, everybody has a little athlete in them, but everybody can't be an athlete. So
right.
It's that whole thing to see somebody overcome something, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yep.
I'm thinking dating service. How cool would it be? No, you got how many guys would love to tap into an entire community of women who love
it's not
sports?
Just women.
I know, but she's definitely going to have that niche demographic. Would you not sign up to be able to?
That's good. You can work
well,
with her after. Sounds like a consulting gig for you.
Well, we are pretty popular. I would have to say at one point I was a hot commodity. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I think you know, most men do appreciate women who know the sport and vice versa.
Sure.
So, you know, it kind of helps too. It's kind of funny because for my husband and I, it's nothing for us to watch a game. People kind of think we're weird, but I find more and more couples, it brings couples together.
Right. Common interest.
Right.
And so what are we looking at? Weekly, daily?
It's going to be weekly.
Weekly?
Yep, it's going to be
start
once a
weekly.
Week. Yeah.
It'll start weekly. And
you know, it's going to blow up. And that'll
no,
be
there's
day.
Just, there's a lot going on, especially if you're going to avail yourself to these other sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an awful lot going on.
Yeah, but definitely it's going to start weekly. But like you said, hey, you know, you never know.
Exactly.
Once I get this sponsorship across from me.
Sky's the limit.
There you go.
Right.
And but it occurs to me the video element, which we have consciously chosen, we just don't go down that path. We
right.
can't afford the makeup lady. Right.
And, wardrobe.
The whole bit, you got the lighting and all that stuff. Adding the video, I'm sure, is a fantastic
yes.
addition to the platform, but that's got to come with its own set of complexities. But it,
actually, not.
No.
I mean,
you got
everyone's,
it dialed in, huh?
Yeah. Every once in a while, you might get a guest, or you know, who'll be like, "Oh God, I'm fearful about getting on." But you'll find, just like with radio, once people start talking,
it just kind of melts away.
Yeah,
it?
So it works.
All right. So talk to us again about the plan. You're out there now a little bit, and people can access some content now. And
no,
then we got big stuff happening. Or
we're
what?
Actually premiering in the fall.
Premiering in the fall.
So we're going
in
the next couple weeks.
Online through social media now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we've been, for the past few months, I mean, we've been very active on Facebook and Twitter, but then the show itself will premiere this fall.
Right.
And like I said, it's on our own YouTube channel. So, but yeah, but we're live. I mean, we have followers on
right.
Facebook
so you're
and Twitter.
Talking to them, but there's no shows yet until fall.
Definitely. Definitely. And that's the cool thing about social media. You know, we're gaining our audience, we're
right.
gaining momentum, and people are getting excited. So
right. They start looking forward to it.
Exactly.
What an
exactly.
exciting time for you. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Especially to do, you know, that little 8-year-old inside of me is all excited.
Oh, yeah.
So finally get to do something that I love.
Do you have a date of the first show? Or are you just saying fall right
I'm
now?
I'm just going to say fall right now, because as you all know, in this world, anything could change.
Right.
So, but then fall is also right around the corner. So the,
right.
the goal is October.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so let's make sure that our listeners have the coordinates so that they can interact with you on these social media platforms and get ready for this fall release.
Definitely, definitely. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and it's TWSSS, and that's for That's What She Said Sports.
All right.
And, so, you can, and also on our website as well.
Fantastic.
Yep.
And we gotta have you back in maybe in the spring or something and give us a little bit
update.
Of a feel for it. Yeah, give us an update.
That
Let
would
us know
be
how
awesome.
Things are going.
That would be awesome.
That'd be fun. Hey, listen, how about hanging out with us for a little while we visit with our next guest?
Yes, definitely. I would love that. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. All right. So now we get a chance to visit with someone that you and your crew lined up for us, Lee.
Yes, Jeffrey Preluck. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Well, nice dentistry with a difference.
What's different, Jeffrey?
I knew that question was going to come up.
No teeth.
No teeth.
You don't work on teeth.
Well, first of all, I don't have a talk show every week. So, But we are Dentistry with a Difference because I would say mainly because of our staff. Dr. Nordone, who is my partner, been my partner for 35 years, or 25 years actually, our staff just go over and beyond what is expected to make our patients comfortable and make them feel very much at home. And I really pride our staff with being probably the major reason for our success in Dunwoody over 35 years.
Now, let's talk about having a partnership, because Stone and I have a partnership.
At least we did before the show started.
It hasn't been 35 years or 25 years. Tell us how that happened. Like, how did you know each other? What made you think that it was a good idea to go in business together? Because you could have done your own thing.
He was too short. Same That's story as money. He couldn't play football. He's too short. So he had to get in there.
Great question. Actually, we were, my partner, Dr. Nordone, and I were in the same study group together. And as fate would have it, a person that I was practicing with, wasn't a partner with, actually he passed away kind of very unexpectedly. And I kept going back to my study group and saying...
What's a study group? Like?
Study group is a group of dentists that would get together and just talk about various aspects of clinical dentistry, aspects of the business of dentistry.
So you're in a practice, so you're already practicing, and this is kind of a like an advisory group, or you guys are just
exactly.
sharing?
Exactly. We're sharing ideas.
To help each other grow as business people and dentists, right?
Exactly. Kind of a different concept even today, but
right.
Very, very powerful group, and we learned a lot from each other. And anyway, I kept saying, does anyone know of any young person that would like an opportunity to come on board with me and become my partner in the practice? And
that's what Lee did.
That's what Lee did.
Found a young person.
A young person.
Young person. And anyway, one evening, you know, you get phone calls at home, and my wife got a phone call, and usually she kind of brushes them off because it's right in the middle of the dinner hour. But she said, do you know an Al Nordone? And I said, yeah, he's in my study group. He would like to talk to you. So Al said, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I think I would like to be considered for that, for your partnership position. And so anyway, we sat down and talked, and we decided our philosophies were very, very similar. And over a glass of wine, we decided that this would probably work. So we gave it a try for a year, and after that, we became partners, and the rest is history.
So when you started, you said, let's give it a year. So you had like kind of a timetable attached to it, and
yes.
then where you would reevaluate?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's good advice.
Yeah.
So you mentioned philosophy, but and that's not to be dismissed. Philosophy is probably important in every arena, right. But it is particularly important in the healthcare arena and in dentistry. Speak a little bit to right. that in general, and more about your philosophy, if you would.
Right, exactly. The main point that both Dr. Nordone and I share is that the patient is number one. Their needs, their desires, and I can have a very idealistic idea of what the patient needs. But if that doesn't fit their time frame or their economic situation, that doesn't work. So we really have a philosophy that we'll do what's best in the best interest of the patient, keeping in mind what their desires are. And also we have a philosophy of what type of dentistry we do, what materials we use in dentistry, what services we offer. And so we try to be on the same track. We very much are. I would venture to say that if a patient came in and saw me or Dr. Nordone, that they would probably get the same advice, the same treatment plan. You know, with the minor changes, everyone sees things a little differently.
You're not going to come in behind Nordone and tell him not to floss.
No, I usually don't do that.
That would be bad business.
Yeah, not a good idea.
What do you think of the water pick? I had a dentist tell me the water pick's better than flossing.
Well, you know,
you're in that camp.
No, not really. The water pick is good, but some people do some damage with the water pick.
Uh-huh.
If they use it on too high a setting, it's the tissue in the mouth is very delicate, and if it's used with too much force, it can actually be destructive to the tissue.
See that?
Now, are you
controversy?
I like that.
Controversial issue.
Are you finding that? And this relates to controversial issues. Are you finding that patients are more informed, or at least think they're more informed, coming in now than they were 5, 10, 15 years ago?
Right, because of the internet?
Right. Definitely more informed. Definitely. Magazines, a lot of the media are always talking about the newest developments in dentistry. And that's one of the things we try to offer in our practice, things like Invisalign. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but invisible braces. That's a tremendous amount of interest in that. We're able to provide restorations in one visit. People used to have to wait to come back for a crown for a couple of weeks. Now we can mill them directly in the office out of porcelain, and it's all done on a computer. Very, very interesting. We can now place implants where the patient doesn't have to go to someone else to have the implant placed and then come back to their dentist to have the crown done. It can all be done in the office, and it's done on a computer-guided system where we actually use a computer to tell us exactly where that implant needs to be placed.
Now, is your practice primarily adults, or do you do teenagers, adults, or kids, teenagers, adults?
We are generally a general practice. We see all age groups. We see from small children to grandma and grandpa. So we try to service the entire
community. When I was a little kid, my dentist was an adult dentist, and like he didn't like kids. And so I was scarred for – it took me like years to get over the fear of the dentist because right. that guy was so terrible.
Well, you know, dentistry has changed a lot. There are so many preventive measures that are taken now. If we can get to a child early enough with fluoride treatments and with sealants, decay is not a major issue anymore. If we can get to a child, their experience in a dental practice is very different than it was years ago. They come in, they're happy to come in and see us. They look forward. I won't say they look forward, but they kind of look forward to seeing us. And their experience is totally different. They don't have the all of the baggage that some adults have.
My dentist was great with kids. He had the toy chest and all that, but he had yellow teeth.
Yeah.
Not a good thing.
It's like a fat nutritionist.
Right. You don't want that. So I want to talk about the business side of this thing for a bit. You know, I went to school for 13 years and 3 summers, and everything I know about business I learned from Lee.
Right.
But it occurs to me that, I'll just ask, how much business training, how much training do you get going through the dental education system about how to run a business? Because I'm under the impression maybe not a lot.
Right, that's a great question.
That's a fantastic question
of the day. Yeah.
That you really hit on something. You know, dentists, there's a finite period of time that a dental school has to train a dentist. And so they really are basically geared to what they clinically need to do to get a dentist who is proficient to be able to get out and do dentistry. We learn very little about the business of dentistry. So basically the philosophy in the past has been they kind of send you out to the wolves, and you really don't know how to negotiate a contract or how to negotiate a lease, things like that. So I can attest personally, we probably made every mistake you could make in management. But, you know, that sometimes is the best teacher, too. So we've learned a lot, and we've tried to take advantage of technology in other fields and brought it into our practice as far as management techniques are concerned. So we try to be very efficient in our practice and deliver, you know, deliver a good service at a fair price and do it in a way that is time efficient for the patient. So all those things are taken into consideration.
Now, in today's world, it seems that dentistry is almost like a mini spa treatment in some places, right? Like there's a lot of the TVs on the ceiling. They're giving you drinks and blankets and eye things.
We do
right?
all of the above.
Is that true? Right?
All the above.
Like how did that happen?
Well, it's interesting. With the I think with the interest in cosmetic dentistry, and by the way, we do a lot of porcelain veneers, the cosmetic services, patients kind of have come to expect a little bit more than just a dental experience.
Right.
So what we've done is we do exactly what you say. We have blankets. We have music. We even went so far as to do paraffin wax treatments for patients while they were getting their teeth done.
Wow.
So yeah, so we try to, you know, you try to treat the whole individual and not just their teeth. There's a person attached to those teeth.
But you can't get rid of those pokey silver metal things, right?
Still part of the mix.
Part of the mix.
Like, you know, you go into those rooms and they have all that stuff and they lower the lights and the whole thing happens, but they break out these medieval tools. Like, can't fix that.
Well, we the way we get around that is we keep all the tools behind
hidden,
the patient.
There you go. That's how to do it.
And we've learned to pass tools back and forth between my assistant and I under their chins so we never see them.
That's the way to do
Nothing
it.
Nothing really comes out till after they put the cucumber slices over your
that's
eyes.
That's right.
That's where that stuff comes out. So, still a very competitive arena, you know, a lot of dentists in the Atlanta market at
right.
least. How do you get your new business? How, mm-hmm. how do you go to market and get people to even just get on their radar?
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that. We use all the social media that we were talking about this morning. We are, if someone wants to go to our website, it's www.dentistrydifference.com. And they can learn a lot about our practice. Most of our patients, new patients, a lot of them coming in, have learned about us on the website first, or they've Googled us. And if you Google my name or Dr. Nordone's name, you'll see, you know, things that we have written in the past, what we've been responsible for. So people do their research before they come into the office. We do have a Facebook. Mine is Jeffrey G. Prelick, DMD, MAGD, or Master of the Academy mm-hmm. of General Dentistry. So people can get on our Facebook, see articles that are put on that I find of interest to patients. So there's a whole different ballgame. The days of just word of mouth it's still important, but it's just part of the mix now. Most of our best patients do come in from referrals.
Referrals,
from
I would imagine, yeah.
Other patients who have been with us for 30, 35 years, and they wouldn't think of going anywhere else, thank goodness, and they refer their friends. Those are the best patients. But patients are finding us through all the social media now.
Well, and there's this thought leadership angle, almost like a consulting firm.
Right.
You're demonstrating well before you ever meet face-to-face, demonstrating
your
expertise.
Right.
Exactly.
And you're enjoying that at least initial credibility.
Right. You know, and you came up with an interesting point. Dentistry now, there are lots of different levels of dentistry. Fee-for-service dentistry, which we are. We're not really part of any HMOs or PPOs. So we really have to distinguish ourselves as to what makes us look different and what makes it worthwhile for a patient to come into an office where they're going to get very, very customized treatment. They're going to be seeing the same dentist. They're going to be seeing the same assistant. They're going to be seeing the same hygienist every time they come in. And that's very important. People are really looking for those relationships. That's what sets us apart, and having the technology to be able to deliver the services we're talking about. So it's a different. As you mentioned, we really have to distinguish ourselves, and we try to do that every day.
Now, how important is it to kind of plug into the community that you serve? Like, are you active in Dunwoody things?
Very. We are very involved civically with Dunwoody. There's a project that my partner and I took on. I don't know if you're familiar with the Sproul Farmhouse, which is right at the corner of Shambly Dunwoody Road and Mount Vernon. Well, that house, it's interesting. My wife and I were driving one day and stopped at the light, and we looked at it, and I said, gee, that farmhouse really is falling apart. And this is the center of Dunwoody.
Right, it's right
Dunwoody.
In the middle, right.
Exactly. And I said, you know, some corporation ought to step up to the plate and do some restoration.
And your wife said, how about your corporation?
And that's what she said. My wife, Penny, is here and said, why not you? How about you? So I went back to my partner. That's I said, well, what do you think? And so anyway, we took that on as a project. So I can't tell you the number of people who have called us and have come into the practice because they're appreciative of what we do in the community. So we are very involved with that. We feel as though the community has been very good to us for the last 35 years, and we feel it's time to give back. And so I'm very involved with the Rotary Club and other civic organizations, so we're very plugged in.
So do you guys, dentist or good dentist, are you part of a dentist club or a dental association?
Yeah, you still have that study group?
Yeah, the four out of five? Or whatever.
We're the 99%. No, yes, we're very involved with all phases of organized dentistry. We're members of the American Dental Association. I'm the past president of the Georgia Academy of General Dentistry. There is certain levels in the academy. I'm a master of the Academy of General Dentistry, and that's where you take continuing education over a number of years and attain levels above just a DMD or just a regular dental degree. So we're involved with that, involved with Society for Implantology. We're very involved with Invisalign, as I was mentioning before. We're very involved with cosmetic dentistry, the Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry here in Georgia. And my wife and I are very involved. But this is a pet project of ours. We're involved with the hygiene school over at Perimeter College, where we're working to try to improve that facility and help to make it an educational experience, not only for hygienists, but for dentists in the area.
Now, you work, I would imagine, mostly individual people who live around the area. Is there any element where you kind of work with businesses as well? Like where you go to the business and say, you know, can we help you?
Doctor?
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a whole
no, that's an interesting idea.
Where that focus on sports, so all these sports doctors get together and then so they, you know, that's their uniqueness.
Exactly. Well, you were talking about sports before. We are very involved or have been involved in the past with the Dunwoody High School with their sports teams, providing mouth guards for them.
Oh, right.
And things like that. So we are involved.
Cool.
You are a busy guy.
Yeah,
very busy.
Is there any new magic dental treatments out there that we should know about?
Magic dental treatments. Well, as I mentioned, the CERAC, which is dentistry while you wait, basically, that's pretty exciting.
The porcelain crown thing?
Porcelain crown.
While you wait.
While you wait.
That's amazing. Yeah. Was usually multiple trips, right?
Oh, you
gotta
go
back. Crazy. They kind of whatever they do, the mold, then you got to come back, and they give you a temporary. And you come
this
back.
Way, it's only getting numb once.
Right.
And the tooth is prepared, and we then take a visual impression instead of the old gloopy stuff. Let me say this. It doesn't work in every situation. We're selective in where we use this, but where we can use it, instead of taking an impression, we take a visual impression, and then we can actually design the crown on a computer, and it sits right in the operatory, so patients can watch us design it, and then it's actually milled right in our office, and the patient gets the crown, that day, it's cemented in, and basically they're finished.
That's amazing.
That is. That's fantastic. Well, how can our listeners reach out and learn more about your practice and maybe set up an appointment and get a consultation?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, we'd be delighted to have them as patients. And our office is located, as we mentioned, in Dunwoody. We're right in front of Publix. We're a freestanding building at 5548 Chambly Dunwoody Road. Our website is www.dentistrydifference.com. You can find us there. And our office telephone number is 770-393-9450, and we try to be very thorough. I think that's something you asked about differences. When patients come in, we get to talk to the patient first, and that's very different. Most patients say they've never had an opportunity to talk to the dentist initially, but we sit down with a patient for about 15 minutes. We really want to know who we're treating, and we want them to know about us. And so we have patient ever sits down in the chair, they sit in our little private office, and we talk about what we provide, and we learn about them, and we'd invite anyone who'd like to come in and become part of our dental family to come in and do so.
And Facebook page?
Facebook, as I mentioned, my Facebook page is Jeffrey G. Preluck, a master of the Academy of General Dentistry, and they can get some interesting information on that Facebook page. And we have a Facebook for the office also, so if you go to our website, it'll direct you to our Facebook page.
And if they like you, would they get free toothbrush or some?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
It was my pleasure.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.